Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa with Outward Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I'm Melissa, licensed clinical addiction specialist, licensed professional counselor, and owner of Trinity Counseling Services. Want to thank God this morning for allowing us to wait. Thank you for protecting us, and thank you for keeping us safe throughout the storm. This morning, we're going to speak about budgeting and financial discipline and all the things that go with it. The show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services. The address is 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27215. The phone numbers are 704-333-2446, 336-675-0075. And you are welcome to call or write us an email at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. You're also able to call in on the guest call-in number 347-945-5924. There is some information that is on the website, blogtalkradio.com/talkwithtrinity. This is week four, January 24th, January 30th. For the past month, we have been talking about different resolutions and things that people make. Our first week was looking at budgeting and bucket list. And I'm saying budgeting because usually that's one of the resolution that people make. They want to have a better financial focus for the new year. There have been challenges that are online, 52-week challenge where you put money aside. It can be a penny up to a dollar, up to more than that, and then you basically save it every day. So you save a dollar a day, $2 for the second day, and so forth to see how much money that you end up saving to the end of the year. You also can do the penny challenge the exact same way. People making budgets on, you can do it by hand, you can do it by on your computer, you can do it in your notes, you can do it on spreadsheets, you can do it on Excel. There are different programs, different resources that are available, and after the show, later today, we'll be posting on the website TrinityCounselingCharlotte.com some of the resources that are available for finances and financial. You can also, if you bank with many banks, you can go in and talk to them about what different savings products and things that they have available for you, Christmas funds and the like, in order to fulfill those goals that you set for the new year. One of the other resolutions is if you have plans for higher education or vacation, or completing things that are listed on your vision board or bucket list. Finances normally is high on that list because a lot of times people end up not doing the things that they want to do as a result of their financial situation. So that was the week one, and then week two, we looked at what New Year's resolutions are or were, and we realized that the word resolve is in the word resolution, and to resolve is to make a firm determination of something that you want to change about your life and then proceeding forward. And it's hard to have a New Year's resolution when your resolve is broken by reason of failure to complete or fulfill the commitments and dedication, or changing your mind about what your goals were when you first started the year. And then it's just 21 days to make a habit. So in week three, we began to look at more deeply some of the things, habits that people have that prevent them from fulfilling their goals, not just for finances, but for other areas in their life. And that was week three. And you can listen to the weeks leading up to this one. You can also listen to some of the archives. Statements that kind of explains why is there a person who's an addiction specialist speaking about budgets and all of those things when her focus should be substance abuse or drug abuse or alcohol and drugs or even mental health. And I was in conversation with a young lady who runs her own organization, Life Skills, And he, as we were planning this show, I invited her to call in and to speak and to share. She said that she specializes in assisting individuals who struggle with finances and things to that effect. And I didn't realize that that was an area of focus for a counselor and how that relates to what an individual can and cannot do as far as their mental health is concerned. I never equated mental health with money. And so she said that she specializes in it, that she talks to individuals, couples, about some of their financial goals. And in studying for this morning, what I learned is that there are some barriers or things that individuals must go through in order to be changed their minds or change their financial situation. It says budgeting helps you to learn to have budgeting helps to learn how to have respect for money and how to value money better. And learning the budget requires several steps, including setting financial goals, planning how to accomplish goals, creating and maintaining the steps needed to accomplish the goal. And as a drug and alcohol counselor, there's one thing that always stands out. Every time that we do a group, individuals first say that it's the whole idea of my clients are primarily driving on impaired probation, and they say, well, it seems to be just a money racket, the system just desires to get money from individuals. And when you look at the whole journey in itself, from the time that an individual is arrested to the time that they renew their license, they will have gone through many, many different financial roadblocks or obstacles that will drain their finances. And if their financial situation is not what it needs to be, it can hurt their life as a whole. For example, if they're drinking, hanging out, you never realize how much money that you spend in the activities that you do. So one of the concepts of budgeting is you need to begin to become more aware of your expenses or more aware of the amount of money that you spend in different areas. You can do that in a variety of ways. You can save your receipts. You can look at your debit, your bank records or bank statements, and you can categorize them. There's a program called Mint.com. You can hook that to your all of your banking accounts and all of your accounts and all of your bills and everything that you know that you're going to need to pay, and it will show you exactly how you spent your money on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, and an annual basis, and it can be done on your smartphone or your tablet, and it can help you to keep up with that. And if you see that you're over budget or under budget, it'll show you that as well, and it's a real helpful product that you can simply, it's a free application, and you just not really labor intensive. You just basically put all of your account information on it, fairly secure site, and it helps you to keep up with things, their fixed expenses as well as your temporary ones. And so when individuals get into trouble, like you may say, well, you're spending a lot of paying for a lot of things with cash, and then you don't keep up with those receipts because you really don't know where your money goes. So one of the ways that you can do that, and requires a little bit of discipline, asking the cashier for the receipt, keeping a receipt in an orderly fashion, keeping it in a box, keeping it where you can easily put your hands on it, or not spending cash at all, using your debit, and then that way you know you have a running record of how much you spend, but you might not want to take your debit card going out. So you might just say, well, I'm going to take $20 or $40 to hang out. A lot of times people get in trouble with that because then they didn't have their debit cards. And so if they go out and they drink and end up driving, it's because they're not able to call it Uber or Lyft because they don't have their debit cards or they don't have what these people now taking debits. They don't want to have cash. They're afraid of being robbed while they're out. So they're not able to spend that, and they'll get in the car, and then they'll drive away, and then they'll get stopped, and then the DWI process begins. Then the financial part begins and says, well, you failed to plan, and you don't realize that part of your planning was how will I get home if I don't have the extra money or if I spent all the money in the bar. And then you realize how much money you spent because you had $100 and then it was gone. Some people find themselves going to the ATM machine and they get too intoxicated and then they lose their wallets and then it costs a lot of money to get all their IDs back. So quite naturally, that's where money goes. Then you want to get somebody to try to hold that and you got to trust them to do that. So there's a whole lot of things that goes with that. And then the hiring, getting in the car at an impound so you can get home and get to work, that's costly. And then paying your bond, there's a cost there. And then paying the lawyer, of course you want a good lawyer because you think that if you have good representation, then it's going to help you. But then when you realize the lawyer's not communicating with you and you're not aware of the things that need to be done, then you find that, you know, there's a couple of places when you get a DWI and they say, well, no one ever explained the situation to them, and they don't know how much money is involved. And like you think, well, I got $100 for this or $100 for that. And then they say, well, no, you need $100 for reinstatement, $100 for the assessment, and you need $500 for the class, and another $100 for the driving privilege, and another, you know. And then that thereby gets people frustrated. And I'm speaking about that because when all you have is what you have, and then there's a strain on it or a requirement for it, then you either move things around if you have it available to do that, or you're going to procrastinate until you do, and then a lot of times your procrastination goes on and on and on, and then you still find yourself in the same situation a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, and then it is can be worse. And so the same thing with setting financial goals. If you see that something is taking money from you unnecessarily, and you might want to address that. And that's one of the barriers in counseling is admitting that there is a problem. Many people don't want to admit that they spend their money frivolously, or many people don't want to admit that they're not responsible with the money that they make, or maybe not admitting that $5 here and $10 there adds up to the end. It might not look like a lot as it's being spent, but it rapidly grows. And so I can understand now when she said that when you talk to people, where does that come from? Where do you get the mind of how do you think about money and what respect did you have for money? Did you get that from your family? Did you observe them doing some of the similar things that you do? You know, did they didn't mind putting things aside, you know, to have, you know, a good time at the time? And then, you know, did you always go on vacation? But then when you return home from vacation, your mother, father was like, well, we shouldn't have spent that much, or the vacation was over our heads, or we didn't take the vacations because we didn't have. So then when you get older, you feel like you need to do all that. All of that has origins in your patterns of behavior and how they come from the family and how you think about money and how it influences you in your present. So that is one of the areas that need to be addressed when individuals are saying, you know what, I'm gonna do better with my money. That is actually a conversation to have with a counselor, or not a counselor, maybe say a life coach, someone that can assist with setting the financial goals and fulfilling those things. Also, with the second part of it, it says planning and how to accomplish those goals requires breaking things into steps. If you are by nature a procrastinator, and you might need someone to help you to maintain motivation so that you won't put things off. If you're a person that makes lists, but sometimes make the list and the list is all the action that you take, you might need someone to help you to go back to the list and look at the list and see if things are being checked off of the list. Planning also is using the SMART goals. We've mentioned that several times, but being specific about the things that you want is in budgeting. What are you budgeting for? Now, are you just budgeting just because you think it's the right thing to do, or are you budgeting for a short-term goal? Or are you budgeting for a long-term goal? That is another area of counseling that wants to be looked at. when you're talking about financial goals, also planning and considering things to be discussed with a life coach is when you have what may be the overwhelming situations, financial bonds. Like I said, with people who get into trouble, $10,000 ride is what they say. A lot of times people have a difficult time righting themselves when they find themselves in that situation, and it's hard, it gets overwhelming, it gets frustrating, stressful. And then how do you answer that? Drinking more, using more, or resorting back to old behaviors that may put you in a worse situation than the one that you're already in. So there lies another area that you can talk with a life counselor or a life coach or someone to help with that. And then creating and maintaining the steps needed to accomplish the goal. So thinking about the feelings, learning more about patterns of money behavior, helping them learn how to get back early value. And so one of the questions that I wanted to ask, or ask anyone that's welcome to answer it, is what issues are facing individuals today? We will be doing workshops, looking at various topics, and a lot of times relationship issues revolve around money. Money being spent unnecessarily, or the same things that we're talking about as far as budgeting goes. You might have an individual that's thrifty. That's when an individual gets frivolous, and that creates a conflict, communication, hiding, blaming, lying, and all these other areas. And it sounds like and looks like and is experienced similar to individuals dealing with people who have drug and alcohol problems, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. It has everything to do with how the value of money. And so some of the issues that couples face is that 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and one of the primary reasons is because of finances. And so how do you do that? And that's another area for a family counselor or someone that works with couple counseling, and trying to determine what the values are. If you go to a Christian counselor, they're going to ask, why are you equally yoked? Being equally yoked in the area of finances, do you think the same way? Do you have the same vision? Do you have the same goals? Are you working towards the same things? And if you're not, when did you realize that you weren't doing that? One of the ways that some couples just into getting married, you know, planning that and how expensive that can be, and that can be going to be a drain on finances. But, you know, couples, that's an opportunity for them to work together to see if they don't have anybody that's willing to help them with the wedding. They have to do it on their own, which means then they have to agree what we can afford, what dress can we afford, what venue can we afford, music and things like that. And that establishes what the relationship will be built on foundationally. And that's almost that would be an assignment that a counselor would give, and that's what couples, and they can find out about how they think and how they feel about money, as far as facing them today. One finding themselves in relationships when one individual might have more money or more debt, and then entering into the relationship that way, and that might create a conflict in the initial relationship that goes another pattern of behavior, and how they work through that is imperative in order to help the relationship as a whole. So the other question would be, how exactly does the issue affect individuals and couple, and what is their life like because of that issue? And there are counselors that are available in my offices are located in Alamance County and Mecklenburg County, and there are resources that are available around. And when you call to the counselor, then one of the things that they're going to ask is, what is the presenting problem, or what is the situation, what is the goal, what are the issues that are to solve the conflict in the relationship, and the, applying the steps that we've mentioned before, is admitting that you're powerless over a behavior and that your life has become unmanageable, and that is the answer that you give to the counselor, and being made, that's an honest statement. You have an honest desire for help. You have an honest desire to make the relationship work. You have an honest desire to make your life work. So when you go to the counselor and say, well, what brings you in today? haven't reflected on some of the areas of your life that are causing conflict, and answering it will allow the counselor an opportunity to be able to help. And you don't go into the situation, I'm saying the counselor, you know, life coach or whoever that's going to help you with your goal, and you're saying, why would we pay for that? Well, one of the, you know, as a professional, that is what their job is to do, is to help highlight or enlighten individuals. Trinity, I'm giving the education through by way of this Blog Talk Radio, and the enrichment is that there's value to focusing on these issues, and the enlightenment is that there are resources, and there is an area for people to talk to people to deal with the situation there's no one in their life. And as an example, if you look at anyone that has any good amount of money, I would say Donald Trump, but I could say Mark Cuban or any of those guys on Shark Tank, or anyone that, you know, they have mentors or they have advisors or they have people, whatever the title of them, they have people that they go to that's what they do, and they allow them to do that. Goes back to the 1 week where everybody was talking about the lottery. Mark Cuban said the first thing you want to do is get you an attorney and let the attorney do their job, and get you a financial person and let them do their job. And that is from his mouth, and that is good advice. If you don't know how to do something, and if you have a pattern of behavior that your family doesn't know how to do the thing, then why would you turn to them? There's a book that says, why would you go to a donkey seller to buy real estate? And because that's not what they do. Same thing with money. Why would you go to someone who's not good with money themselves and talk to them about, they're not going to have the same mind, and the professional is being able to take the situation, analyze it, and look at it more objectively than a family member would, which might have an ulterior motive for the reason that they're saying the things they're saying, that they're doing the things that they're doing. It says, what, if any, are people doing to try to resolve the issue on their own? Again, people make lists and don't keep up with them. People go to the internet and search the problem, but the internet is only going to give you the information that you enter into it. So you say, give me a budget sheet. Well, it'll give you that, but then how to use it, how to make it a living document is what's going to be important. And an individual that is professional, that is familiar with helping you to make goals and set treatment plans and do those things, can better assist you with that. Also, people do put these applications on their phone, but the applications will not help you unless you utilize it. Same thing with Mint.com. But if you don't put all of your finances on it, it can't give you, it's only going to give you what you give it. So if you don't put everything on there, you're basically preventing yourself from getting a full understanding of your situation, be able to have a full knowledge of what you have and what you don't have, and not being in denial about that. Again, that goes back to step one, we admitted to be a valid over our lives, and that they have become something in our lives, that our lives have become unmanageable. So step two is to change the belief that a power greater than ourselves can restore sanity. That is a trust statement. That is coming to believe that there is something, someone, something higher than what we know already that can help restore us to more sane behaviors than some of the insane things that we have done. And so we came to believe that a power, and that's why I'm always encouraging individuals to seek the resources, make the calls, you know, give me an opportunity to be able to help you to find someone that is able to help you, but not myself, someone else in the community in which you live. And here are the ways that you can ask them for the help. Here is the plans. Here are the things that you can say, what they're going to be looking for as far as being able to assist you with your goals. So what, if anything, are people doing to try to resolve it on your own? Or what, that sentence twice. That's really funny. In our last few minutes, thing that we want to share is we made a conscious decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. There's a written I wrote a document, a blog on LinkedIn, and one of the things I mentioned in it is God gives us all gifts and abilities and resources that are on hand to be used to multiply. It's just saying that he did give individuals, gave one talent, 1 5, 1 10, and when he returned, the ones that he gave the most, they multiplied theirs. They took those gifts and the talents and the resources that they had, and they doubled them. However, the one person buried it out of fear, you know, and said, well, because I'm afraid, you know, I didn't want to take the talent that you gave me and be wasteful with it, or, you know, not do it. He took it from him. He's like, that doesn't make no sense. I'm paraphrasing that poorly, but basically, if you have one thing that you are good at, you can offer that, and that often multiplies itself. There's some people that are good at cooking, and, you know, some people are good at organizing, and they have opened restaurants, but they needed to have a situation that brought them to themselves in order to say that I have no other choice but to do that thing that I am needing to do with my life. And that is the whole reason that we share on a weekly basis. I have committed to sharing on a weekly basis with individuals. I do offer the opportunity for individuals to call in if they have the resources that are available to individuals. They can speak about that so that people can know. People can call in. People can listen. We can archive these. We can make copies of them. We can give the phone numbers. We can offer people the opportunity to better themselves, because it says, you know, if God has a plan for us and a gift for us, and we have a duty to Him, then our duty is to make sure that we're doing what He's requiring us to do. And we're not going to be able to do that if we have certain fears and we're not able to get there. I feel we're not able to get there. I desire to go to Nashville to go there at $4,000. Don't have that right now. It's not in the budget. I feel that I would be a benefit to the discussion on the panel, but due to my financial limitations, I'm not gonna count it out, but it's gonna be difficult in order for me to get there. So there lies a prime example. Why is that? Because budgeting. Who knew that there would be opportunities that would be available that would require that? But now that I know that, I'm making a plan to not make it to Nashville in March, but to make it to Baltimore in December. So I know that that's where I want to go. That's my goal, and that's where I plan to go in December, to be able to talk about self-care for therapists, because it is imperative that an individual, anybody, whether it be a therapist, a counselor, or an individual, that they continue to maintain their mind frame and to do the things that they need to do in order to glorify God. And we appreciate the opportunity to come this morning. Appreciate God's wisdom, knowledge, and instruction in the application of this word. We just want to say thank you to all those who are listening. Feel free to call in again on next Thursday with your resources. Call in number 347-945-5924. I'm Melissa. We talk with Trinity. You can email me with any questions that you might have. MelissaTrinityCounseling@gmail.com. And I would thank you for keeping us safe, allowing us to safe travel, and throughout the rest of our day, let us be an example for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone have a good day. Thank you.